Africa is one of the most biodiverse regions on Earth. It's home to one quarter of all bird species, each filling a niche and doing what they can to survive. The challenge of competition, or the perennial arms race between predators and their prey, is often the driving force behind evolution and can push species to develop surprising adaptations. The African harrier hawk is one such species. They have several such adaptations, and over the last few years, our conservation research team, alongside scientists from other research institutions, have been studying them to find out more. Hello, I'm Tom Morath. I'm the Deputy Head of Living Collection at the Hawk Conservancy Trust, and whether it be kites or kestrels, harriers or hawks, I've a passion for birds of prey and understanding their place in our natural world. Our podcast, Nature's a Hoot, is a way to delve deeper into the world of these winged predators, to understand their natural history, their current status in the wild, and how we can support them through conservation efforts into the future. In this episode, we'll be focusing on the African harrier hawk, a beautiful but lesser-known species of bird of prey with surprising adaptations. This is a species which also goes by many other names, such as gymnogene, banded harrier hawk, or the bare-faced whistling hawk, probably my personal favourite. It's a fascinating one for many reasons, not least because their lifestyle is somewhat different to other birds of prey, with which they share their habitat. Both their chosen source of food and the way they access it is perhaps surprising given their apparent size. They're a similar size and shape to a pale chanting goshawk. To the untrained eye, the two species look very similar indeed. Like many raptors, the pale chanting goshawk, or PCG, as I've often heard those who seem to see them regularly call them, is an ambush predator and can take down prey much larger than themselves. Pale chanting goshawks have been recorded taking prey up to the size of Cape hares. Interestingly, the species will also forage alongside honey badgers whilst they hunt for prey themselves, the goshawks waiting for the badgers to flush prey and using them to their advantage, rather them than me. In any case, I'm getting distracted. The African harrier hawk may be a medium-sized bird of prey with a wingspan of up to 1.5 metres, yet their chosen strategy for feeding is a little different, to say the least.
So I would say it's completely different from other rattles. They are very light in flight, which is very interesting. And they have a specific behavior to hunt. So they are not a very good hunters, but they try to find the prey in the nest, in the wall, in the trunk. And so this is very specific to that species.
That's the voice of Dr. Simon Poitier. Simon is a scientific researcher from France with a specialism in the adaptations of birds, recently co-authoring a paper about the sensory ecology of raptors. He's also worked one-to-one with birds of prey for many years as a falconer. In other words, Simon is the perfect person to talk to when it comes to striking adaptations of birds of prey.
So the most famous behavior we can see in the wild, so I never seen them in the wild, but some people seen them, and I've been in Africa and I discussed with people who did work on it. The most specific behavior is that they can look inside the nest in the trunk, you know, the small hole, and they can put the feet in the trunk to take the chicks and to hit them. And so not many raptors can do that, not many individuals can do that. And so this is why many people were interested in studying that gymnogene like 40 years ago. There are very little study on it, but people were very interested to see them. So, but they are hard to find, hard to find. And this is why this is really important to come at the Hawk Conservancy, because we can study them very easily.
Like many predators, the African harrier hawk is an opportunist and will hunt anything from large insects to frogs, lizards to small mammals, which it will often forage for by clinging to the bark of a tree with their feet, balancing with their wings whilst peering into the cracks and crevices in the trees. They'll often use their long legs to reach inside those cracks, opening up a world of possibility for the species. Prey that would ordinarily be out of reach for other predators is fair game for the African harrier hawk. It's this adaptation that Simon and his colleagues have been focusing on recently, including some work with two birds who are housed here as part of our living collection, Josephine and Baba, a female and male who are paired together at the bottom end of our grounds. I asked Simon why the harrier hawk was an interesting bird to study, and what he hoped to discover by observing the birds here at the Trust.
So that's a good question, because there was a guy who wrote something about the leg of that bird, saying that they can put the leg forward and backward in the meantime. Like, we can't, you know. I don't know if you will not see me in the podcast, but we can't do backward and forward the arms. And one guy was saying that in a book, I think it was 50 years ago, and one anatomist studied the gymnotus and say, okay, maybe because of the tibia, they have a specific place in the anatomy that they can allow them to put the leg backward and forward. But no one has studied that after. So 40 years ago, only one paper on that, maybe two. And then they say, okay, maybe they can, but no one tested it. So this is why we are here. So, you know, in science, it's always hard to say not true. It's easy to say it's true, but when you can't see it, whether this is not true or whether the animal did it, you know, it's very hard. So from what we've seen at your park, at your conservancy, so we need to come back to have more data, but we have very cool data, so we film them. What we've seen is that we didn't see any backward movement of the leg. So I would not say it's not true. I would say we need more data. So what is very interesting at the Oak Conservancy is that the aviary is quite large. You have a pair inside the aviary. They can fly. And what is very interesting is that you have different way of giving them some food. And one way is the factice trunk that you put inside. And what is very cool for us is that we can film inside the trunk. In nature, it's impossible to film inside the trunk. And this is why captivity is always interesting for science, because we can control everything except what we want to study. And so in that case, we just open the trunk that you have, we put some cameras, we put some food inside, and then we just film and we just look.
To add a little context, Josephine and Baba have an artificial tree trunk at one end of their aviary, which has a small hole in the front which they can peer through and then use their talons to access. It also has a hatch which members of the bird team working with these birds can access from outside the aviary. Pop their dinner inside, and hey presto, we can give the birds the opportunity to demonstrate this interesting natural behaviour.
It was very good, I have to say. The first day was so good because the female came maybe 10 times, so we have 10 replicates, so that was really cool. And then after, it was raining quite a lot, so we had less replicate, but still we have, I think, 15 trials, which is great to study first and then to say, okay, maybe the camera should be a bit more there or there, and then can improve the value of the science that we want to do. The first thing is to look at the video first, and then we have some program, yes, where you can put points at specific place you want it to put, and then the program is following the point, and you can have all the movement of the legs, of the wings also, because the wings are also important for the gymnogene to keep steady on the trunk. So we can follow any movement we want, and the camera we use, they are so good, so we can decompose the movement of the bird very precisely.
But this species is of least conservation concern, according to the IUCN. I asked Simon why he thought it was important to still study animals that are not already considered to be on the brink of extinction.
Okay, so one thing that I always say by doing science is that is that, sorry, increasing our knowledge is really, really important. Even if it's for nothing, I mean, even if it's not for conservation, or if even if it's not for breeding program, I don't know, but increasing knowledge is very important. And then the second value is that I'm working with Annick Abou-Rachid, who is the leader of this study. She's an anatomist and she's working with roboticians. And to create new robots that help people in their daily life, we need to know how animals are made, you know? And so we did study the neck of the vulture because they are very strong. And so right now they will develop some robot with arm looking the same as the neck of the vultures. And so because of the gymnogene with double jointed legs, sorry, it could be really, really interesting for roboticians. So, you know, it's important to improve our knowledge and it's important to help the new science, even if it's not in my field.
The work Simon has been doing is not the only study the Trust has been involved with when it comes to this species. A new publication, co-authored by Dr. Campbell Mearn, our Head of Conservation Research and Education, looks at the differences in the visual field of the African harrier hawk, aka gymnogenes, and other birds of prey, and how this relates to their distinctive hunting style. Campbell worked with both Simon and Dr. Steve Portugal, who you might remember from our Secretary Bird episode, to investigate the unique physiological features of birds of prey at the Trust. The study focused on observing the unusual visual field and binocular extent above the head in the African harrier hawks, arguing that it's an adaptation needed to enable this unusual and specific foraging behaviour that we've discussed today. Before we parted ways, I had to ask our regular question. Simon, if you could be any bird of prey, which species would you be? And why?
For sure, I will not be an owl. I don't want to live by night. Which is not true because some owls also BF by day. When I was very young, because I was born in falconry, you know, my father is a falconer since I'm a very young kid. And I always say that I wanted to be a falconer, but just for sea eagle. So I'm in love with sea eagle. So I would say a sea eagle would be like a bald eagle, or the white-tailed sea eagle could be the one I would choose. But in the meantime, the goshawks, very, very well adapted for hunting, and I'm so surprised for that. So yeah, sea eagle or goshawk. With the goshawk, I can stay in France. While sea eagle, there are very, very little in France, so not sure I will be able to stay in France.
A great answer for sure. And Simon is not the first to choose a goshawk, of course. He's in good company with Trust President Chris Packham. Simon is a busy man, so I asked him what's next, and I knew it would be something exciting. I wasn't disappointed.
So my new main job is working on collision problem. And so I'm studying the vision of birds to help them to not collide with human devices like the wind farm. And so next week I will study the bird vulture and the vision of the bird vulture to understand all the sea and what we can do to make them not collide with the wind farm.
Studying bearded vultures to reduce collisions with wind farms. So cool. And vital work, of course. For those of us who work directly with the birds at the Trust, it's always exciting not only to find out more about the species we work with, but also knowing that the individuals we care for are having an impact on the understanding we have of their wild counterparts. Many of the species we study are listed as endangered on the IUCN Red List of threatened species. But it's important not to forget those species that are not currently listed as endangered. Sometimes we work with species like the African harrier hawk that are currently classified as least concern. And this can provide opportunities to extrapolate our findings to other, more threatened species and hopefully inform conservation practices. And being classified as least concern does not automatically mean that a species is safe. A recent study, co-authored by our very own Dr. Campbell Mearn and published in Nature Ecology and Evolution in January 2024, looks into the worrying widespread collapse of the populations of African birds of prey and their increased dependence on protected areas. In research that focused on 42 African raptor species, the African harrier hawk was one of more than six that are currently listed as least concern. But the report demonstrates that the gymnogenes showed a decline of nearly 60%, putting them in the endangered category. Birds of prey are threatened in many parts of the world. The more we can understand them and the problems they're facing, the better chance we have of being able to plan to effectively conserve them. And that is the mission we strive to achieve every single day. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Simon Poitier, for the time and support he gave towards putting this episode together. If you'd like to know more about the research work we undertake at the Hawk Conservancy Trust, you can explore the conservation research pages on our website, hawk-conservancy.org/conservation-research. Loads more bird of prey content can also be found on our social media pages. You'll find all sorts on Facebook, X, Instagram and TikTok. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share it with your friends, and perhaps consider leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts.